Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
This episode of Vegas Nation is brought to you by STN Sports from Station Casinos. STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus for up to $50.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
And as promised that we had talked about at the end of Friday's show last week, we are still going to bring you our mock draft 1.0 here from the Vegas Nation crew. We're going to get into the third round today. But before we do that, guys, I wanted to get your take here on something I had heard this morning from Albert Breer, who was on Sports Illustrated show. He had said that he's heard rumors that the Raiders may be trading down to get a second round pick. Now, if they did that, Vinny, and I don't know what you've heard out there as well, if you've heard this rumor out there, but if they were to trade down, what pick would you imagine that they're doing that with? And can you foresee any scenarios in which that does happen?
Absolutely, 1,000%. You know, I think at 19, let's presume they get their wide receiver that they want at 12. I really believe that that's the direction they're going to go there. You know, but at 19, the work that they did in free agency has really created a lot of flexibility for them with 19. You're not desperate, as you probably were prior to free agency. You got your two linebackers. You got a couple of safeties. One of those safeties can play cornerback. You got an interior defensive lineman. You created depth at defensive end. So you put a lot of good work in free agency to create some flexibility here. So I could absolutely see them trading down with that number 19, and depending how far they go down, still being in range of a collection of guys that they probably like in that area, but also with the ability to pick up a second round pick. We know that they don't have a second round pick right now. They have two first round picks, three third round picks among those first 91. So there's no doubt about it that I could see them doing that to pick up that extra second round pick or a second round pick.
Now, here's some names: Christian Fulton, Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray. These are guys that could be at that 19 position, a pair of linebackers there I mentioned and a cornerback as well. Now, Miles, if they were to forego that 19 pick, that could possibly mean that one of those names drops out of the mix for the Raiders. Obviously, at 19, those are some selections. It's not the selection, but they're options that they would have. So if you're saying that at 19, they kind of forego taking either another linebacker or another cornerback there, would it make more sense for the Raiders to actually trade their pair, maybe their 80 or their 91 or their 81, because they have a bunch of numbers there to play with in the third round, to trade a pair of third rounders to go up to the second as opposed to losing that 19?
Well, I think it depends on the assets that you can still acquire and the assets that you want and the assets that you have, right? I think that 19 is a very valuable asset, especially when you already have something like pick number 12, where you can get a premium player within the top 15 of the draft. So if you think about it that way, yeah, like, do you want a premium player at 19, or would you like to collect more assets and then trade down, get something in the second round, maybe get something in the third round, perhaps even get another first round pick out of that in a future draft. So I think that it's all about where's your board? Where are you lining up with the assets that you would like to have in terms of players? And then how does that line up with the assets that you could potentially acquire in terms of future draft picks? So I think everything is certainly on the table, especially when you're talking about a first round pick in that range.
And Vinny, I think you make a great point that the Raiders have really aligned themselves in free agency to have this kind of movement, to be able to be versatile with what they do here in the draft. So I think they have set themselves up nicely. But let's go ahead and assume that they're going to have all these third round picks. That would be the 80, the 81, and the 91. So with the number 80 pick in the 2020 NFL draft, Vinny, who would you think that the Raiders take with their first third round pick?
Well, I'm not ruling out Jalen Hurts right here, but I think some of, you know, the trading down to get a second round pick could be quarterback related. But let's just assume that Jalen Hurts has already been picked. I'm going to go right back to the secondary. That's what I picked at 19, the safety from Alabama. But I'm going right back to the secondary, and I'm going to go with my guy, Kyler Duggar, from Lenoir Rhyne, Division II powerhouse in Hickory, North Carolina. And this kid just blew me away at the Senior Bowl in practices. He was a star defensively, lining up all over the place, all over the secondary, some at linebacker, rushing the passer, showed great coverage skills, toughness, physicality. I just love the kid. So I'm going to go another Swiss Army knife to put in the defensive backfield, and a guy that you can play all over the field at the line of scrimmage, in coverage, in the secondary. So Kyler Duggar, Lenoir Rhyne, safety.
All right. And Miles, with your first third round pick for the Raiders, who are you going with?
Yeah, so I think Vinny sort of alluded to this pick, and it's maybe, I don't know, wishful thinking on my part to have him here at number 80, but I would say Jalen Hurts. And, you know, I think depending on the projections you look at, he can be anywhere from a second round pick. I've even seen some things that like low first round pick, but he could possibly be there in the third round. Either way, I think that Jalen Hurts kind of makes sense for the Raiders. And, you know, if you've listened to the other podcasts, that kind of means that I've sort of only done Oklahoma players for the Raiders. And I don't really know what that means. But at the same time, I think that Hurts is the kind of guy that you can bring in and you can develop him. And he gives you that sort of running style to the offense that we have heard John Gruden want to take advantage of more with the quarterback position. I think that if you look at it in that way, Marcus Mariota almost makes perfect sense as a bridge quarterback from, you know, the present day to possibly Jalen Hurts down the road. And I think at best, Jalen Hurts could become a Russell Wilson type, somebody that can always extend plays with his legs, somebody who can make throws down the field. Now, the one thing he's got to do is cut down on the turnovers. I think that, you know, he's fumbled a lot. He's thrown some critical interceptions. So that's something that he has to correct. But, and those things don't always just go away, ask Jameis Winston. But I think that as a developmental project, he's somebody that I think the Raiders could take in and develop. And, you know, you see what happens a year or two down the road. But I think that he would make a lot of sense for the Raiders.
That's who I would have picked as well, but I just don't know if he's going to be there at number 80. That's the one concern that I have, that he's not going to be there. That's why I'm kind of thinking that they may try to pick up a second round pick that might be in that Jalen Hurst, wheelhouse.
Jalen Hurts, I've seen him projected around 78, 79. So it would be something like, okay, maybe he falls down to that 80 spot. Maybe he's there for the Raiders. But at the 81 pick, I'm just going to get the jump on you, Miles. I was going to say Chase Claypool. So wide receiver. So I think that would be the next pick for the Raiders after they go probably maybe if they could get Jalen Hurts, like Vinny was saying, who knows if he will be there. But I think that he makes a whole lot of sense for them. I think that he would be a good guy to build upon, somebody that can learn, be there for a couple years, learn the system, get acclimated to the West Coast offense. And then maybe he's somebody that goes there. But Chase Claypool was going to be my 81 pick. So Miles, who's yours?
Not Chase Claypool. Wow. We actually finally differ. I'm going with a name that I know from a Showtime couple of shows like Billions, but his name is Damian Lewis, and it's not the actor. He's actually an LSU offensive lineman. And I think he makes sense for the Raiders because he's got a lot of experience playing guard. And if you draft somebody in the third round, you're not necessarily counting on them to start right away. But I think for Lewis, it's an opportunity to come in, learn behind two very decent guards, very good guards, really, in Gabe Jackson. And also you have somebody like Richie Incognito. Now, you're not necessarily going to look to replace Gabe Jackson anytime soon. He's only 28. And, you know, there are contract implications. So maybe things happen a little bit differently down the road there. But I think with Richie Incognito, you know, he's on the back nine of his career, maybe even the back three. All right. So I think this could be an opportunity for somebody like Lewis to come in, to be a depth piece at first, to sit a little bit, to learn a little bit. And then year or two later, he starts, he gets into that starting lineup and he can, you know, help you dominate on the offensive line.
Well, it's back to defense with me. And, you know, I think the Raiders still have to fill that third linebacker, at least in my, you know, mock draft. They haven't gotten the third linebacker, and this is where they get him. His name is Logan Wilson, linebacker from Wyoming, 23 years old, experienced, massive production player at Wyoming, can play in coverage, you know, is a big-time hitter, plays sideline to sideline. I think that he fits everything that the Raiders are looking for from a character standpoint, production standpoint, and a guy that at 23 is a little bit advanced, you know, in terms of his maturity. And I think he could get on the field sooner rather than later and make an impact. So Logan Wilson, linebacker, Wyoming.
That's interesting, Vinny, because when Adam and I went out pre-combine and did the feature on different players who were building up to do this combine and to make sure that they did great performances, and they worked with California Strength out there to learn all about the metrics and how things work, Logan Wilson was one of those guys.
Nice.
And his presence was really good. A lot of the guys looked up to him. He was kind of a leader out there on the field with what he was doing. And it was very tedious in learning the details. And it was something I found to be very intriguing about his personality, was the details. He was a very detail-oriented person. And every time he was out doing a 40, he was like, hey, what do I need to improve in my start? Or how was my start? What was my time? What was my set out of the blocks like? So he's somebody that I could see that mindset. I could see him, like you were saying, being a good character person for the Raiders. And for me, I was actually going to look at somebody here out of Oregon at that spot. And I was thinking linebacker Troy Dye. So I thought maybe also a linebacker, Benny, that could start out as a solid backup, somebody that, you know, needs to get up to the NFL level. But, you know, as an outside linebacker, he could really work up. But I like that he had the right kind of mindset as well. He's got a good frame. He's, you know, very interesting personality. I've heard that he's really cool with the other guys in the locker room, great as a blitzer. So somebody I thought could work as well with the Raiders, that could build his stock in the linebacker position. So that's who I was thinking of at the 91 spot, actually. So I don't know at your 91, if you're sticking as well with linebacker or cornerback. Who do you have there, Miles?
So I'm going to go with an edge rusher, because I am the type of guy who thinks that, you know what, you can't really have too many of them. And I think given the nature of what we've seen from Cleveland Furl, you know, we know that there is more to unlock there. But I think Max Crosby, he obviously has a lot of potential as well. You look at Carl Nassib, he's somebody that can play the run well, but can also pass rush. But I think, you know, Arden Key is one of these sort of wild cards that we just don't know what he can really do. So I think in that sort of vein, I would go with Curtis Weaver, who's coming out of Boise State. He's an edge rusher. He's done a lot of good things there, I really think. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the best athleticism, but if you look at what he's done, I mean, in 2018, he had 15 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks. And then also, you know what, he had 13.5 sacks in 2019 as well, when he became a second team All-American, you know, first team All-Mountain West guy. So these are the kinds of things that I think can really help the Raiders defense. I think you still have to have more pass rush. And, you know, also you probably got to address the secondary, which I now realize, you know, as you've gone through these picks, I haven't necessarily done that. But I think that there are ways that they can do that, maybe with later picks, maybe with some other guys in free agency. And you can't just draft for need. I think that if he's there on the board, he could be somebody that can really help the Raiders.
Vinny, do you have a cornerback there maybe for the Raiders at the 91 pick?
No, I am going with Tony Pride Jr., another standout at the Senior Bowl, just a feisty, physical, competitive cornerback that I think, you know, at the very least can play in the slot. But he was playing all over the field in the Senior Bowl and didn't back down from any challenge. You know, I just feel like the Raiders need to continue to build depth in the secondary. So for me, Tony Bright Jr., Notre Dame cornerback.
So yeah, you know, as we have built here upon the draft, something that I thought was of note that we should talk about as well was the NFL All Decade Team and who they put together for this team over the years. And the only former Raiders there, I mean, the one I think that was the most mainstay as a Raider was the punter in Leckler. You have also, you know, guys who had spent some time with the team, like Cordarrelle Patterson as a kick returner, Khalil Mack, obviously, Marshawn Lynch. Antonio Brown's name was on that list, but we're kind of leaning with it. Exactly. He who shall not be named was there. So, Vinny, I saw that you had done a write-up on this. What did you think of the all-decade team that the NFL put up?
Yeah, I think they got it mostly right. I know a lot of people are complaining about Drew Brees not being on there, but I mean, his Super Bowl wasn't in this decade. Had at least, I think, two, maybe even three losing seasons in the decade. So, you know, there were just other quarterbacks who were better in terms of, especially with winning Super Bowls and MVP awards and that sort of thing. I also heard some complaints about Sean Payton, but pretty much for the same reason that Drew didn't make it. I think that's the same reason that Sean Payton did. You can't have three losing records in the decade and be on the, you know, one of the all decade coaches. You know, whereas Pete Carroll, I thought, you know, got his team to two Super Bowls, you know, won multiple division championships, should have won two Super Bowl championships, but obviously, big mistake at the goal line with by not using Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, I think that they got it pretty right. And, you know, the Raiders should take a little pride with the Khalil Mack selection. They did draft him fifth pick overall in 2014. Certainly had his best years with them. I think I had him for 40 and a half sacks in 4 years with the Raiders. That's monster production. Shane Leckler, they drafted in 2000s, and he played, 13 years, I think, with the Raiders. So that's their guy for sure. And had a couple of, you know, he played three seasons with the Raiders in the decade and had three monster seasons with them. So definitely deserving of that honor. Cordarrelle, one season, you know, with the Raiders, but was still really productive and has just been a monster on kick returns. I think he's averaged just under 30 yards per kick return for the decade. So spectacular return guy. Not the greatest wide receiver, but a guy that you could give the ball to in various situations, but certainly as a special teams kick returner, just a monster player.
So, Miles, when we looked over that all-team list, was there anybody on there that you think, or not on there, rather, like Vinny was alluding to with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, was there anyone that kind of crossed your mind, like, oh, why didn't they get on this team, or are you okay with the list?
I don't know. I think I'm pretty okay with the list. It's interesting. Whenever you have something like this, it's always, if you were to take, if somebody got left off, then who would you take out, right? And I think that conversation always happens, too, when you're talking about Hall of Fame votes and different things like that. You know, everybody says, oh man, this guy should have gotten in, this guy should have gotten in. Well, if you do that, then who do you take off? Because there's only a certain amount of players that can go on each team. And I think certainly Drew Brees has an argument that he probably should be on that list, given that he is undoubtedly one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But as Vinny was saying, if you look at the record, you have these certain losing seasons, then that might be why. But yeah, I think that it's a good list. I think it's a really solid list. And I think, you know, what's been kind of interesting and kind of fun going back and seeing some of these different teams that have played over the course of, you know, the last decade, the last however many years, with different specials that have been running. running. You know, they keep playing these old games on the different networks. I was tweeting about this yesterday. It's fun to watch that. You know, it was fun going back and seeing Tony Romo's first start against the Panthers. It's been fun going back and seeing, you know, the different games, like when Odell Beckham Jr. made that ridiculous catch on Sunday Night Football as a rookie. You know, they were showing the old Super Bowl between the Packers and the Steelers yesterday as well. So you get reminded, you know, that you can't necessarily just be a prisoner of the moment, that there have been great players throughout the last 10 years. And so, yeah, I like the all-decade team.
Yeah, I have to bring it up because Vinny said it with the Marshawn Lynch. Should he run it, you know, through, or should we just pass the ball to somebody? I can't. Every time somebody brings that up, I can't stop and help but think about the show The League, where they have that scene with Marshawn Lynch the year after that happened. They're like, can you get me a beer? No, just throw me the beer. No. I want you to come over here, run, and come get the beer and run back to your seat. No. I want to have you pass me the beer. It's the funniest thing. Anyway, so if you haven't binged that yet during this time, I would tell everybody to please go watch The League, because it was a funny show and that scene is in there and it was great. And as we're talking here about the all-decade NFL team, news has come across Twitter here. I'm seeing this memorandum that just went around from Commissioner Goodell saying that the entire NFL draft will now be virtual, meaning there's not going to be anybody going to visit up at any headquarters of any teams as we're used to, Miles and Vinny. What do you think that this means as far as how the clubs are going to be able to run everything, Vinny?
Well, I mean, we've mentioned this and talked about this before. I think this is going to be a bit of a litmus test on, who's the most coordinated, who has things under control, who has the best IT people. I mean, the IT people are going to be the real MVPs of this draft, because, you know, it's what a logistical situation that they're going to have to deal with, making sure everybody's hooked up. Everyone that needs to be hooked up is hooked up, and there's not going to be any glitches, although we know that there's probably going to be some glitches, and the people that can troubleshoot and get things, you know, squared away as quickly as possible. So it's going to be really interesting. I think the good teams, the teams that are ahead of those curves and have the best technical staffs and have always been thinking along those terms are going to probably win the day. And the teams that are behind that curve are going to feel it. So it's going to be pretty fascinating. And I'm sure, you know, after it's all complete, all the stories of, you know, what actually happened and some of the, and I'm sure there's going to be some hairy stories of like, man, we almost didn't get our pick in or whatever the case might be. That's going to be the real fun part to, you know, go back and talk to people to see how it actually went and get the, you know, what I'm sure are going to be some intriguing, probably some funny stories that come out of it.
So, Miles, as I'm already looking over Twitter, people that are replying to Tom Pelissero's tweet, the people are writing things like, oh, the Zoom bombing is going to be epic. And somebody else says, this is going to be terrible. So of those two takes, like, I mean, there's two ways to look at it, that this is a positive, this is a negative. But how do you think this is going to work out for teams on Zoom? And like Vinny's saying, the IT is going to be epic, how people are going to handle this type of situation. I mean, what is your take on all of this?
I think it was inevitable, sort of. I mean, just given the fact that, you know, you're going to have teams that are in certain states with stay-at-home orders, you know, and all non-essential businesses not being able to open. And so if your facility is unable to open from a statewide governance standpoint, then that's not fair to, say, another team that would not necessarily have to work under those conditions. So it's all about trying to be equitable and really socially responsible at a certain point. I mean, look, this is a weird time, frankly, for the NFL to still be holding its draft. Now, there's no probably better time for them to do it, just given the fact that everything is still so fluid and we don't really know when things are going to be back open again, right? So if you can conduct this thing virtually, it makes sense in order to be, it just makes sense to do so. So from that standpoint, yeah, but I, when it comes to like, you know, dropping in on Zooms and Zoom bombing, I think that, look, teams have to be better than you would think that they would be for like their amateur status, right? Like you can't be having drafts like an amateur hour, you know, where anybody can just drop in on your call. There are ways to set up secure video conferences. And if your IT person is not good enough to do that in the billions and billions and billions of dollars of industry that, you know, the NFL is worth, then you probably got a big problem, right? But I think that it's understandable to have some concerns if you're a team about the logistics of how all that's going to work. You know, how are the phone lines going to work? How are you going to communicate with the league, with other teams? You know, if something happens where your internet goes down, like what does that mean? You know, and I think I read this in maybe the Football Morning in America column by Peter King. And forgive me if I didn't read it there. I read it somewhere. But teams are discussing perhaps, you know, having extra time in each round in order to, you know, to account for the fact that you have this really huge just shift in what things are going to have to be in order for you to draft. So I think that there still are some logistical things that they're going to have to work out. But from an IT standpoint, you got a couple weeks now. You got to be ready to have a secure draft so that you can, you know, do all the confidential things that you have to do in order to draft properly.
All right. So we will keep you apprised of anything else that we learn about this, how it's going to go down specifically for your Las Vegas Raiders. And we will keep you up to date here on the Vegas Nation podcast. So make sure to hit subscribe where you are listening. We'll be daily leading up to the NFL draft. And we got your fast takes and smart coverage here with your Raiders. You can find us also on the Blue Wire Network. And we are brought to you by STN Sports Mobile, by Station Casinos. Follow us on social media platforms at Vegas Nation. Download the Vegas Nation app and make sure to check out VegasNation.com for all your Raiders coverage. For Vinny Monsignor and for Miles Simmons, I'm Heidi Fang. Thank you so much for listening.